lifestyle we live in, chemicals from our modern society are driving a global health crisis. Serious health problems are now at epidemic proportions on Guam. Over the past 10 years, health problems from cancer to Alzheimer's to diabetics, even autism, are all shown to be increasing at alarming rates, really impacting every family. With proper diet, nutrition, and an understanding of how the body works, we can minimize our risk, giving you the opportunity to live a healthier, happier, and longer life. At Island Strong, we provide the tools and resources to help you take charge of your own health. To find out more, visit islandstrong.com. Stop by our office next door to Megabyte Intimuni or call 648-9355 to speak to a wellness coach. Learn to live well with Island Strong. That's 648-9355.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
Osbujau Community School has listened closely to Superintendent John Fernandez's call to action and is committed to being an advocate for education. Osbujau offers a credit recovery program and an advancement program where students who are lacking credits or are interested in graduating early may attend Osbujau to gain those credits from a six-year WASC accredited school that can transfer those credits into the student's district school. Parents, please check your child's counselor and take control of your child's education by sending them to Osbujau to recover those credits that will guarantee that the student will graduate with their class or graduate early. Osbujau is located in Agaña, next to the Attorney General's old office building at 297 West O'Brien Drive in a three-story blue building. Call 475-9276 for more information. That's 475-9276. The most unique place on Guam to visit is Jess Pirate's Cove, located in Yucang Taltfofo on Route 4, right on a beautiful Windward Beach. The menu is full of wonderful culinary delights, including Jess' famous Chamorro Fiesta Plate. Always remember that Jeff hosts a wonderful Mother's and Father's Day, along with a tantalizing Thanksgiving and a Christmas buffet. Take a tour of Jess Pirate's Cove's unique local museum and keep an eye out for treasure. Yucoy, Guam's own 28-year survivor of World War II, is featured as a main attraction, showing his last 10 days on Guam and how he lived in the jungle. Jeff opens up, folks, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Folks, you got to start out with breakfast. Jose's Mexican omelet is unbelievable. Go through the week, then Jose's Taco Tuesdays show up. Unbelievable burritos, triple tacos, and then of course there's Friday, F-R-Y day. And that's where you can get that unbelievable whole parrot fish. What a treat. And don't forget about Jess' Mediterranean Greek menu with a gyro platter, another personal favorite, Greek salad, and a list of appetizers that will only increase your appetite. Come to Jess Pirate's Cove, open 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and call 789-8646 for orders to go. That's 789-8646. We'll see you there. Imagine, it's a quiet moonlit night, and you're standing on a beautiful white sandy beach, the sand still warm under your feet from the sun's rays of the day. A gentle breeze is blowing through the palm trees, and it softly caresses your face and body. The moon is full, and the shimmering pale white moonlight showers you with its powerful moon energy as moonbeams dance upon the ebony waters surrounding you. As you walk along the beach, with the waves gently kissing your feet and the ocean singing to you, you look to the heavens and you see the most wondrous, brilliant star. As you gaze upon this twinkling star, you see it fall suddenly into the water, and in a flash of light, a beautiful, perfect dolphin emerges from that very spot. And in an instant, your heart and mind know that this magical being came to you from the heavens above. The dolphin calls to you in language not of words, but of the heart. It is an easy, joyous communication, welcoming you to approach and enter the water. Excitingly, you do so, finding the water warm and soothing. As you greet one another and you look into the dolphin's eyes, you see the universe itself reflected there. You feel at peace and love. It is a union and a reunion. You remember and you're connected. Such joy and love you have for your new friend and guide. You take hold of the dolphin's fin, and she gently swims with you. You feel totally safe and protected as you both now go beneath the surface of the water, deeper and deeper and deeper. How beautiful this underwater world is. You could stay here forever, surrounded by colored fish, coral, sea, and plant life of every description. And in the distance, you see a crystal cave just for you. You and your guide effortlessly glide toward this cave, so inviting. And as you enter the cave, you find it has many, many rooms of many colors. Red, orange, purple, green, blue, yellow. Each is healing. And you choose the color you need. Or you may choose to visit each room. You're like a sponge, absorbing the vibration, the energy of all the beautiful colors. You may stay here as long as you wish. And when you're ready to leave, you see that your dolphin friend has been patiently waiting for you. And she now accompanies you to the surface. You float silently upward. And upward and upward, and emerge from the water healed and whole. You bid farewell to each other, thanking this magnificent celestial being for her love and energy and for this healing journey. And in your heart, you know that she will always, always be with you. Welcome. Friday night, 6:30 at 8 o'clock. Metaphysics is the name of the game. Now, I'm here in Tampa, Florida, and we're doing a wonderful WhatsApp with Jordine running the show. So this is going to be an exciting show. Of course, we're having quite an adventure. I'm here visiting my granddaughter, Mahalang, and she's just had her 16th birthday, and we're been going all over pretty much the state of Florida and enjoying this wonderful vacation and this gathering of information here, in Florida. And I'm talking to as many people as I can, and I find there's quite a group of folks who go to these wonderful bookstores, and you sit down, start to talking a little bit about the Mariana Islands and things, and then I try to interject a little bit about what goes on out of the Marianas, and of course the phenomena of it. And it's all news to most people, right? Because the Marianas, Guam, is something that's not necessarily in the people's conversations because of our distance and our remoteness, really, on the world stage. But once you start talking, you show them Guma Tao Tao, Rosa Guma Tao Tao, being on the money, and you know, this phenomena of humans teaching humans out here. It seems to lighten people's aspects of what they see about the Marianas. And of course, we talk to them about having a higher consciousness. And this is pretty exciting because it seems to connect the dots for the people who we've been talking to out here. And so when we talk about, you know, who are you? Of course, we're not human beings, you know, having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And this is something that we all have been able to grasp and begin to enlighten ourselves. And one of the most interesting questions you can ask yourself is, who am I? You know, this is a question that's really ultimately the foundation of all knowledge and experience. Every aspect of your culture, your genetic makeup, life experience, your education, your social stature affects the way you experience the world. You know, therefore, really, it's supremely important when looking for greater truth in this world is to first ponder the question, who am I? Now, this simple question would appear to have a reasonable answer, right? Usually you're able to ask what something is and receive a satisfactory answer. What is that? My car. Who is that? A friend. Where is that? Two blocks down and you turn right. So then who are you? You are your personality, your actions, your family, your body, your ethnicity, your religion, your culture, your job, your environment, your expressions, what you think, what you feel, what you do, what you say, what you know, and what you see. These are qualities you're likely to use to describe who you are. Now, of course, the challenge of spirituality is to see all these qualities and colors of who you are while also realizing that you are a unique expression of pure spirit, this higher consciousness revealing itself as you. Now, we're talking a little bit about kind of a fun thing we all know about Sigmund Freud. And what we're going to try to do a little bit is try to go a little bit step by step in what Freud came up with and his perception of who we are. You know, sages and scholars of every culture have tried to divide, organize, and label all the different elements that make you up. Now, this part, you're going to give me several examples to give you an idea of how each theory is valuable and nevertheless incomplete in itself. Now, here's Freud's view, okay? Now, Freud, father of psychotherapy, had two main hypotheses for dividing the human personality. He has a structural one and he has a topological one. Okay, now the structural theory divides human personality into three basic functions. I know this is kind of basic for a lot of you folks, but other people, it's a foundation of how this perception looks. Now, the first one is the id, ID, is that little child monster hidden inside you who wants what he wants and will do whatever it takes to get it. That's pretty powerful. Then the ego is the part of you that balances out the id with a voice of reason. For example, the ego won't allow your id to steal things because, of course, your ego knows that stealing may land you your whole part of you, the id, the ego, and the superego in hot water. Okay. So now there you are. You have the id. That part, the want, the me, and then you have your ego, which really controls the id, making sure, you know, that the id doesn't get you in a whole bunch of trouble. And then Freud's use of the word ego in this context is very different from how the word is used in common language today to describe someone who thinks he or she is better than others. Freud's ego is also different really from how the word is used in spirituality, where ego refers to the limited self-identification that keeps you from knowing your true nature. Okay, now, when we also talk about our ego, it's something to be able to get into higher consciousness. In our frame use of using the word ego, has to be suppressed. Then, of course, with Freud, you have your superego, is your inner school marm, made up mostly of your parents' beliefs. The superego makes you feel guilty for what the id does, you do, and, for example, causes you to feel shame when your body does all those colorful things the bodies tend to do. Okay, so the superego is your inner school marm. This is kind of your this conscious, made up mostly of your parents' beliefs. Okay, this is something that are belief systems. And the superego makes you feel guilty for what the id does, or the me, and do, and, for example, causes you to feel shame when your body does all those colorful things that bodies tend to do. Now, this structural model of personality paints a somewhat bleak picture of the human condition, with little room for spiritual greatness and transformation to enter the picture. Okay, now this is the structural theory that Freud has. Now, this structural model of personality paints a somewhat bleak picture of the human condition. Okay, so let's jump over to Freud's topological theory. Now, this has more elements in it, in common with a spiritual philosophy, than his structural theory has. It acknowledges that there are deeper layers of personality, parts of you that exist beyond what you can really know. In this theory, Freud divides the human being into four main categories. Your conscious mind is what you're aware of most of the time. As you think, make decisions, and interact with the world around you, it's your experience of each day with thoughts like, he said this to me, and I said this back, or I can't wait to go on that vacation, or don't forget to pick up milk on your way home. Okay, this is your conscious mind. Then you have your pre-conscious mind, is a layer of awareness that exists of all the things you're not actively aware of in the moment, but that are readily available to your conscious mind, such as the sounds going on around you right now, the things you hear, but you're not conscious. It's a pre-conscious mind. Then you have your subconscious mind, and that is the part of you that can generate and read all kinds of subliminal information, such as body language, writing styles, and hidden word phrases. If someone is lying to you, for example, your conscious mind may not know it, but your subconscious mind is likely to be aware of the deception. Your subconscious contains a great deal of information and details in the form of recorded memories, both experienced and imagined. Subconscious information can often be assessed via various contemplative or hypnotic techniques. The information in this level is really potentially, but not generally, available to your conscious mind. Many intuitive promptings and apparently psychic abilities can be explained by a person's ability to access and intercept subconscious information from somebody's subliminal speech patterns, style of dress, subtle facial expressions, or countless other avenues of subconscious communication. Many psychics may not even realize where some of their information is really coming from. The intuitive and expressive abilities of your subconscious mind suggest that, first, it's a good idea to make friends with your subconscious mind so you can derive the greatest benefit from its wealth and insight, knowledge, and guidance. Qualities that support this would be faith, trust, receptibility, and, of course, quietness of the mind. Now, it's also a good idea to be honest, to say what you really think, and to think what you really feel. If you aren't being honest in your speech, it will be quite obvious, perhaps not to someone else's conscious mind, but certainly to his or her conscious mind. So your unconscious mind now. So you have your conscious mind, your preconscious mind, your subconscious mind, and now we're talking about your unconscious mind, is murky, timeless, symbolic mesh of images, memories, ancestral drives, animal instincts, genetic tendencies, and much more. It's a symbolic, pattern-heavy space existing in a format completely different from that of our conscious minds. From the unconscious mind, entire worlds are created, destroyed every night during your dreams. This unconscious mind also motivates your behavior, beliefs, and experiences in mysterious ways, painting the world with its ever-creative hues. In the unconscious mind, many levels of communication take place all at once. Most are far beyond conscious comprehension. In Freud's tropological theory, your unconscious mind is a dark, murky, deep ocean of psychic images, instinctual drives, and rich symbolism. Okay, so that's Freud. Okay, now you can see this guy had a lot of time on his hands. He really thought this thing out as to where, and being the individual who's putting together psychoanalysis and how we're dealing with the mind. Okay, so this is Freud. This is more of a Western thought about how and who we are as we're continuing with this. Then you got the Eastern view. Now, from across the seas and sands of time, Indian sages had divided you into 36 different elements or layers of consciousness. 36, folks. These span from the highest supreme soul of all creation down to the basic elements of water, fire, earth, and air that make up your body and the physical universe. Now, in this philosophy, for example, your mind is divided into three sections. Manas is what is generally thought of as the mind, your thinking apparatus. It generates your ideas and your opinions about those ideas. And then the buddhi is your intellect and the highest form of knowing, such as wisdom and insight. The words Buddha and Buddhism are related to this part of the mind. And then Amankara literally means I maker. It is usually translated as ego, but has a meaning quite different from Freud's ego. Your Ahamkara is the self-identification that causes you to think that you are limited. When spiritual texts use the term ego, they are usually referring to some version of Ahamkara. Now, every great spiritual and philosophical tradition has found different ways to approach, divide, and label the human psyche and conditions. Now, studying these ideas can help you find new ways to organize and contemplate your own experience. Now, know thyself. Watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character, for it will become your destiny. Now, this is important. Why is it important to explore and understand your qualities, your strongest points, your weakest tendencies? Because you have to understand where you're starting from in this great quest of finding out, who am I? Self-knowledge is like having a benefit of knowing what kinds of foods work best in your body. After you discover that certain substances cause reactions or cause a bad mood, you can gain greater control over your physical and mental state by avoiding those foods that will harm you. At the same time, you can work to strengthen your body so that it will be healthy enough to really properly digest more types of food. Now, I know we're into our last minute here before the CBS News. Real quick, Jordine, what time you got? Okay, so we're into our seconds. Now, folks, tonight's show, of course, I'm doing across the whole United States, across the Pacific Ocean, and coming into Guam. We're doing it through a WhatsApp, and I'd really like to thank Jordine for this. I've always admired her being in the shark ride and having a great singing voice. And this is so exciting. We're being able to do this. Every time during her show, I always like to compliment her on her singing. It's really fun to be able to do this tonight. Now, what we're gonna do, we're gonna jump into the CBS News here, and then we're gonna come back into the show, and then we're gonna continue more about this defining ourselves, who I am, who you are, who we are. This is in the aspect of Western thought and the Eastern thought, and it's something to remember, and really gain the strength of clarification, because these are all things that are around us all the time. Now, are we seconds away from the CBS News, Jordine?
Time to hit it.
Okay, so we're going to do the CBS News, and then we'll be right back with a whole bunch more of The Edge of Heaven. Thank you, Jordine. Learn to live well with Island Strong. That's 648-9355. Osmujao Community School has listened closely to Superintendent John Fernandez's call to action and is committed to being an advocate for education. Osmujao offers a credit recovery program and an advancement program where students who are lacking credits or are interested in graduating early may attend Osmujao to gain those credits from a six-year WASC accredited school that can transfer those credits into the student's district school. Parents, please check your child's counselor and take control of your child's education by sending them to Osmujao to recover those credits that will guarantee the student will graduate with their class or graduate early. Osmujao is located in Agaña next to the Attorney General's old office building at 297 West O'Brien Drive in a three-story blue building. Call 475-9276 for more information. That's 475-9276. Here comes the sun. Unique place on Guam to visit is Jeff's Pirates Cove, located in Ipan Talafofo on Route 4, right on a beautiful Windward Beach. The menu is full of wonderful culinary delights, including Jeff's famous Chamorro Fiesta plate. Always remember that Jeff hosts a wonderful Mother's and Father's Day, along with a tantalizing Thanksgiving and a Christmas buffet. Take a tour of Jeff's Pirates Cove's unique local museum and keep an eye out for treasure. Yokoi, Guam's own 28-year survivor of World War II, is featured as a main attraction, showing his last 10 days on Guam and how he lived in the jungle. Jeff opens up Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Start out with breakfast. We know Jose's Mexican omelet is the best there is. And then go through the week, of course. Stop by on Jose's Taco Tuesdays. Jump in for those fully loaded nachos. And then, of course, there's Friday, where you have your shrimp scampi, your deep-fried calamari rings, fish and shrimp combos, and that whole parrotfish is sitting there waiting for you. Don't forget about Jeff's Mediterranean Greek menu with a gyro platter, another personal favorite, Greek salad, and a list of appetizers that will only increase your appetite. Come to Jeff's Pirates Cove. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and call 789-8646 for orders to go. That's 789-8646. We'll see you there. Now, folks, as we continue in our discussion of who am I, who are you, this whole thing, how Freud produce this different layers, really, of finding this view of a structural theory, and then of course this topological theory, and how in this depths, and how these are different words that we use almost every day within the metaphysical realm, the ego, and how they're looked at differently. And then, of course, as we were mentioning earlier, how this Eastern view divides into these different three sections. And the interesting thing, you think about 36 different elements or layers of consciousness that these Indian sages. So you can see how much contemplation, how much meditation and communion with your higher consciousness that Eastern view has developed into. And then you look at these aspects of what's important to explore and understand your qualities, your strongest points, your weakest tendencies, because you have to understand where you're starting from. You know, self-knowledge is like having the benefit of knowing what kinds of foods work best in your body, as we were talking about, what you might be allergic to, what maybe gives you allergies, of course, you know, that we are really oftentimes reactions to different kinds of foods, and what gives us the best kinds of foods to help us in our digestive aspect of our life. It's the same in the spiritual path. You need to find out what motivates you and what keeps you in a good state, what kind of thoughts, where you are. Of course, within the Edge of Heaven realm, we, you know, love guides is first and foremost. You know, that's our mantra. That's what keeps us into the higher consciousness. Anytime we start to slip into some humanness reactions, that's where our mantra, the love, the guides, it gives us this strength. Now, for some, this may mean watching fewer violent movies. Folks, to be honest with you, I can't watch some often a lot of these movies. You know, it's just, I just don't want to put my mind in that realm. I'm very protective of what I engage my mind in. But there are no hard and fast rules. You have to pay attention to your inner state and contemplate your own nature and history to become aware of who you are and works best for who you are. Now remember, knowledge is power, especially knowledge of your own self. When you're conscious of who you are, you're also more conscious and aware of how you're thinking, how you're speaking, how you're acting. Self-knowledge gives you the objectivity and insight needed to purify your thoughts, to purify your words, your actions, your habits, and character all at once. Your nature is reflected in your world. Have you ever heard the saying, what you are is so loud that I can't hear what you're saying? What you are is so loud that I can't hear what you're saying. This statement is often used as a retort or insult, that someone is acting inconsistent with the image they're wishing to present through their words or actions. Yet this phrase also indicates an important and magical truth about human expression. Your true nature, your true thoughts, your true beliefs, your true feelings and opinions are captured and expressed in every single thing you do, every movement you make, every decision you take, every piece of clothing you wear, every aspect of the atmosphere in which you live. Therefore, all you really need to do is to discover more about who you are, is really to begin to look around you and ask a few questions such as the following. What is decorating the walls of your home? What kind of paintings? What kind of photos? What kind of collections do you have in your house? What do the objects around you represent? Happy times or sad memories? What kind of clothes do you most like to wear? Beautiful, fancy, comfortable? What kinds of friends do you have? Supportive, trustworthy, distant, or close? What books do you like to read? Mysteries, spiritual, dramas, romance? What kind of car do you drive? Safe, large, small, impressive, simple? You may find it helpful to join with a trusted friend in this exploration. because each of you has the benefit of objectivity in helping each other see your natures and tendencies. So this is very important that you really are discovering your tendencies. Now, remember, all of these things, all your environment, everything is what we really is something we've created. You know, every single thing you do, every movement you make, every decision you take, every piece of clothing you wear, every aspect of the atmosphere in which you live. So to see all of this, what you have to do is just look around you. Just be that individual that you see what's decorating the walls of your home. You see what kind of objects around you that represent your thoughts, your happy thoughts. This is what you want to probably want to project. What kinds of clothes do you wear? What kind of friends that you have? What kind of books do you like? What kind of movies do you like to watch? What kind of car do you drive? All of this is so important. So you to discover your personal tendencies, observe how you react to and respond in certain situations. How do you handle stress? How about criticism? Do you do well or poorly in tight deadlines? How do you respond when waiting to hear if you got a job that you just interviewed for? Take a look also at the little things, which are just as revealing. For example, if you have a CD of what music that you really prefer and whatever kind of order of songs, do you let them just play in order? Or do you move them around to kind of the winds of fate? Do you prefer having control, or do you thrive on the thrill of the unknown? How much and in what ways? So try this. There is so much to explore inside every aspect of how you relate to the world. The field for this research into your own nature is wide open. You can start with a few contemplations right here, really, and right now. If Mother Nature gave you an unconditional yes, what would you ask for? Feel free to take some time to contemplate this question, because you never know who may be listening. Maybe Mother Nature herself, right? When someone says they have good news and bad news, what do you ask for first? What do you want to hear, the good news first, or you want to hear the bad news first? And why? When you're in a hospital, you know, in the aspects of going in, you share the well-being? Do you project a positive thought, or are you sad and in a negative realm when you're dealing with friends or relatives who may be in the hospital? But be hopeful in situations like playing a slot machine, you know, of course, being up for a cool prize in a raffle, or awaiting news of a possible promotion. What psychological maneuvers do you use to try to bend the universal flow to your will? You know, you think about it. Do you beg? Do you ask sweetly, or try to make deals with Mother Nature? Do you perhaps offer it all to her will? And if so, are you truly surrendered, or offering to her will in the hopes that this surrender will help you get what you want in this moment? This is a kind of an interesting thing in our motivations and the why we do the things that we do, of course, in the depths of our motivations. You know, how do you respond when windfalls of great fortune seem to shower down upon you, or when everything seems to be going wrong? Now, remember, these are all things that we go through in life. You know, how do you respond to these? Do you feel concerned during the great times that, because the universe is always in balance, there will probably be some rough times ahead to even things out? You know, this is what we're very aware of, is this polarity in life. We have these bliss, we have pain, we have good things, of course, that happen to us, we have bad things that happen to us. And it's all that perspective in that higher consciousness that you see this is all part of Mother Nature. Now, during the bad luck times, do you feel that Mother Nature must like something that you've done? Remember that no matter who you are or what happens within your life, it's going to be this balance. Nobody escapes it. So this exploration isn't an exercise to make judgments against yourself. Rather, it's intended to help you become more self-aware, just as you have to fully trust friends or a therapist to be able to truly confide in them. In the same way, you must know that your own love and respect for yourself won't waver. This confidence in your self-respect and self-love allows you to safely unravel tendencies that may clash with who you thought you were and with who you wish to be. This is an ever-going thing, that the exercise that we're talking about tonight, folks, is this contemplation of really fully understanding who you are, who am I, and all of these aspects of gathering this information and taking the time to start reflecting and digesting all this knowledge. It's like getting to know other people only better. One of the most amazing and wondrous aspects of personal relationships is to experience a deep level of intimacy with another human being. There is something magical about discovering every look and thought of the one you love and sensing how to dance with him or her as you move together through the waves and events of life. What a joy. Now, here's the cool thing. You can actually find the same level of joy and intimacy within your own mind and within your own heart. You can have the same level of enthusiasm in getting to know yourself as you have when you're getting to know someone else. The key to spiritual awareness is to really know and understand yourself, to love, respect, and honor yourself. Forget what the political correctness police may say if they think you're being too self-absorbed. The self-absorption you should avoid is the kind of limited self-identification that can make a person inconsiderate to others. The journey of self-knowledge makes you more considerate of others because you begin to sense the deep connection of all beings. We're all one, folks. We're all in the same boat, and this is the joy of this revelation. Now, keeping good company, we're our unknown. We knowers, ourselves to ourselves. This has to really have its own good reason. We have never searched for ourselves. How should it then come to pass that we should ever find ourselves? Are there people in your life, your family, your friends, your coworkers, or other groups of associates around whom you come into their company feeling great, but walk away feeling unempowered, upset, or angry? This is a sign that either they aren't beneficial to you or they're triggering issues you need to clear up, or both. Contemplation and self-inquiry can help you stop replaying the same ugly scenarios over and over again in the situations of your life. You can find ways to think and act that support your feeling happy, healthy, and empowered. Now, here are some steps you can take in challenging social situations, right? Ask yourself whether these are the right people for you to spend a lot of time with. Do they respect and support you and your ambitions? Do they care about your dreams? Are these the kind of people you wish to be like? If a work situation is troubling you, is there another job out there that will be more respectful and fulfilling? Are you hanging out with the right crowd? Or are their lowered expectations for themselves keeping you down? You may wish to completely avoid some of these challenging situations for a time while you work to strengthen your own inner convictions and resolutions. This is one reason some seekers choose to spend time in a communal or really monasteries, of course, situation. Though really you can see that even in spiritual communities, you find all kinds of people. You know, your own company is pretty wonderful too. A bit of solitude can be uplifting. when you're with people that upset you, examine the tension or anxiety that is coming up inside you. What emotional buttons are being pushed? Where do these anxieties come from? Can you remember feeling the same reaction to other people and situations in your life? Don't forget to look all the way back into your childhood. How much of your distress is from other person's behavior, and how much is from your own projections of their behavior? Usually it's a mixture of the two. What really is bothering you about the situation? Is it something you can just discuss openly and honestly with the person? Seeing your own hidden triggers or self-opposing beliefs is a first step in clearing them up. This is the power of self-inquiry. If your friends or family are judging some aspect of your life and their fault-finding is upsetting you, look to see whether some part of you holds the same judgments. Consider whether their criticisms could be helpful in your journey. You know, folks, oftentimes what you don't like of tendencies in other people is something really that you don't relate or like within yourself. And it's something that you may do the same thing, but you're very critical of how someone else does exactly the same thing that you do. And this is an amazing thing when you start doing this self-inquiry. Now, keep in mind that some judgments are subconscious projections from the other person's own unexplored storage chest of hidden qualities. While others may point out something valid for you to look at in yourself, most are the mixture again of the two, because it may not always be possible to simply avoid difficult people. Of course, we're going to have difficult people in our lives. It's just what it is, especially when dealing with family and work situations. You must also become clear and strong enough to withstand any outer situations that may arise. This is what gives you, in higher consciousness, the skill to deal with what goes on within Mother Nature's presentation of the polarity of life here in the third dimension. As you continue on your spiritual journey, you may even begin to sense that some challenging people and events may be appearing in your life for a reason and with a potentially beneficial purpose. Everything that happens in your life is supposed to happen in your life. And again, what is going on? You are psychologically transcending with every human experience that you're having in higher consciousness. So when these things happen, it's all a hallelujah because of this ascension. Now, they may be coming up to strengthen your resolve, inspire you to be contemplative, and perhaps be moved to express and explain and demonstrate your beliefs and convictions in a more tangible form. Events in your life may strengthen, of course, this belief in having a response as opposed to a reaction. Your reaction, of course, is the humanness that we go through. Your response, of course, is this higher realm of contemplating the event and being able to put yourself in the situation after that contemplation. Now, looking at your shadows, you know, I'm not offended by all the dumb blonde jokes Dolly Parton states, because I know I'm not dumb. And I also know that I'm not blonde. Right? That's your Dolly Parton, right? You know, she's no doubt, you know, it's just looking at your shadows. One reason many people don't like to look too closely at themselves is because they inevitably encounter their shadows. Pockets of actions, speech, and attitudes that aren't always in keeping with their highest views of themselves. And so before beginning to unravel the tale of your life, it's beneficial to first adjust that old worldview again to the vision of spirituality. Understand that in your spiritual journey, even the mistakes you've made along the way can be transformed into fuel for the fire of spiritual evolution. This is even better than recycling in itself. After you understand this, you can wave goodbye to those old staples of guilt and shame, along with their friends by names of anger, greed, and hatred. Those are all human reactions. And when you are into this higher consciousness, that's of course when you embrace the response to things around you, and it's all positive. It's because of this ascension that's going on, no matter what happens. If you have habits and personality traits that you or others have judged harshly through the years, now is the time to begin to look at every aspect of yourself with a kinder, more knowledgeable, and more objective eye, really. It doesn't help to ignore your bad habits or to be full of shame about actions or thoughts you have done and had in the past. In fact, trying too hard to get rid of a habit or trait can backfire, because the nature of thoughts is to empower whatever they've directed toward. So one spiritual law that comes into play here is that whatever you focus your attention on will gain more power in your life. That's so true. So it's so important. So many times people come up to me and they go, "Oh, I'm so tired." And I go, "No, you got to change that word tired to excited." And when you change the word to excited, you go, "Oh, I'm so excited. I think I'll go take a 20-minute nap. And I'm so excited about that," because you're perpetuating, when you say, "Oh, I'm so tired, you're perpetuating that tiredness. This is so important to realize that this spiritual law comes into play, Karen, that whatever you focus your attention on will gain more power in your life. If you have a bad habit and think day and night about how awful it is that you have the habit and how you wish it would go away, you may find that habit becoming stronger instead of following your wishes. This is because the universe is a conscious field of spiritual awareness that likes to say yes. It says yes to whatever you focus on. Even if you're saying no, the universe is nevertheless saying yes. For example, exactly. If you're saying to yourself, don't eat chocolate, the universe is editing out your don't and replacing it with yes. This means is much more beneficial to place your focus not on what you wish to get rid of, but on what you want, on the freedom you'll feel after the habit falls away. So, affirmations. We talk about affirmations. Affirmations are something that you can do in a spiritual practice where you use very simple, "Thank you, Mother Nature, for our unconditional love. Thank you, Mother Nature, for our unconditional love." So you're stating unconditional love. This is what you're thanking Mother Nature for. And of course, your unconditional love will grow. Thank you, Mother Nature, for our excellent health. Thank you, Mother Nature, for our excellent health. There you are, excellent health. You want everybody on the planet, everybody in the universe, to have excellent health. You want this and you want to express that. That's what the universe is going to examine and create. Thank you, Lord, for our extreme happiness. Thank you, Mother Nature, for our extreme happiness. Again, here you are. We want to go through life in higher consciousness within the realm of extreme happiness. This is something that we never want to not have. And then, of course, on a material sense, it is thank you, Mother Nature, for an abundance of surplus money after expenses. Thank you, Mother Nature, for an abundance of money after expenses. This is what is something that, you know, would make your life easier, is having an abundance of surplus money after expenses. Now, this rule goes not just for judging yourself, but also for when you judge other people. The next time you catch yourself dwelling on someone else's bad quality, be aware that your focus may be intensifying the energy of that quality in your own individual consciousness. This is a good argument for bringing more optimism and compassion and love into your mind and heart. And spiritual knowledge gives you the tools to do that. That's what we're talking about. Remember, as you move forward in your spiritual journey, all that you are, all that you feel, all that you know will flavor and color the ways in which you will break through to realms of higher wisdom and spiritual power. You may be sure that if the all-intelligent and all-powerful Mother Nature gave you and everyone else so that many strange combinations of personal qualities and histories, it's because you intended to be different. You're unique, just like everyone, because you're intended to be different. It's just you're meant to have all your tendencies, all your inner frictions and complications. The spiritual challenge behind your being born as you is to take all that you have and all that you are and raise it up as a joyful toast to the divine. It's this balance. It's just where you are in having and expressing yourself within this world of polarity. There's so many parts of you. You know, human personality isn't an item or a stable object. It's a flow, a spiritual light that becomes fragmented into many colors that make you up. Therefore, it's possible for you to feel and act a certain way in one moment and respond very differently at another time. For example, if you're in love or in a great mood, you may become charitable toward the people around you, tossing out friendly smiles and kind words as you go through the day. But if you're in a bad mood, you may instead find yourself impatient and angry with the very same people in the very same situations. Now think about your own life. Think about how you act and feel in the following situations. When you're playing with children, when you're teaching someone who is eager to learn from you, when you encounter someone who thinks you're an idiot, when you feel confused, upset, or fearful, when you feel the power and light of your own greatness shining through you, your responses to the very same situations can vary drastically depending on your mood or personal state of consciousness at the time. This is because you aren't just a single limited tangible object, but the flow of pure spirit expressing itself as you. Get to know all of you, all of yourself. It's so important to know who you are. On your journey of spiritual evolution, each part of you has to grow and blossom. So the aspect of your personality that gets irritable and the parts of your mind that entertain thoughts that you wish were entertaining someone else's mind all begin to move higher from wherever they are and become freer and lighter together. Imagine a rushing stream of water flowing along a riverbank. In one area, you see piles of rock that create a diversion in the water's flow. As you look at this area, you notice the shape of a whirlpool formed by the water rushing across the patterns of rock. To an objective eye, the whirlpool shape appears as a solid object. Unless you understand the dynamics of the flowing water, this whirlpool may visually appear to be the same water from one moment to another. However, that seemingly stable pattern is constantly being animated by fresh flowing water. The rocks in this riverbed are like the outer circumstances of your life that have created certain flows and shapes of your character and awareness. The shape of the whirlpool is like the part of you that others can see, all the aspects that make you similar to or different from everyone else. Nevertheless, spirituality says that what you really are is the flowing water. You are neither the rock nor the shape of the movement, but the fresh stream of divine life force and this higher consciousness that streams through the circumstances of your life and creates this image of you. Now, identifying with the rocks in the stream is akin to identifying with the present situations and past memories, such as your childhood challenges of having too little or too much of one thing or the other. This materialistic point of view makes many people struggle to rearrange the rocks, past, present, and future, hoping that will create changes in the shapes of the water's flow. If you're focused on the details of the whirlpool shape and think that it is you, then where will you be when the rocks tumble down one day? If you're identifying with this being, that particular pattern of flow, when it changes and shifts, you may actually think that you've died. If you identify instead with the flowing water, with this spiritual energy that invigorates and gives life to the body, to the mind, to the heart, to the higher consciousness of every being as it emerges out of the spring of life, you know a great and wonderful freedom. Even if all the rocks fall down, and even if the shapes of the water patterns change a million times, you remain identified with the ceaseless flow of water that's unaffected by any shifting in the riverbed. The truth is that you're really all of the above: the rocks, the patterns of the water flow, and of course, the water itself. So in this thought, you think about when you need to remember how special you are. If you've ever start thinking that you're insignificant or unimportant, just stop for a moment and look at your physical body. What a miracle you are. Appreciate how the profound complexity of nature conspires to keep you alive. From the unceasing work of your heart and other organs to the molecular functions and other energy, really transformational processes. It isn't logical to conclude upon contemplating these things that you are anything less than a phenomenal and somehow worth all the effort that you put into your life. You become yourself, but more so. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. Whoa, one of the biggest myths of spirituality is that you have to become something or someone very different from who you are, as though you will come out on the other side acting emotionless or robot-like. This is a mistake many people make, really assuming that becoming self-realized means you don't have any personality characteristics, or certainly not the ones you have now. Or you may have the idea that inner peace means you act very serious without ever becoming excited, or that you have some other set of limited behavior. However, when you see the great saints, they're not like that at all. They're very free. Many of them laugh and joke around, of course, because of this spontaneity. And they can also appear to get angry. So self-realized beings still have personality traits, but with one big difference: they know that they are divine and that you are divine. This is the key to spiritual self-recognition. The point of spiritual growth is not to becoming something other than what you are. Rather, it's a shift of awareness through which you begin to know more of who you really are. Now, in this thought, remember that prior to enlightenment, prior to self-awareness, you're going to chop the wood and you're going to carry the water. Then after this self-awareness, after this enlightenment, you're going to chop the wood and carry the water. You're going to be the same person. You're going to be doing the same things in this realm of identifying into this higher consciousness. You are just going to see it differently. You're going to have a different view of it. It's not going to be a human reaction to the things that happen. You're not going to have that. What's going to happen is you're going to have responses to what happens. And these responses are going to be contemplated, and it's going to be something that comes from your higher consciousness. Okay? Okay. So, Jordine, let's have a break, and we'll jump in and talk about some of these wonderful sponsors that we have for The Edge of Heaven.
Sure.
The risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out. Think of what you're saying.
9355. Osmujao Community School has listened closely to Superintendent John Fernandez's call to action and is committed to being an advocate for education. Osmujao offers a credit recovery program and an advancement program where students who are lacking credits or are interested in graduating early may attend Osmujao to gain those credits from a six-year WASC accredited school that can transfer those credits into the student's district school. Parents, please check your child's counselor and take control of your child's education by sending them to Osmujao to recover those credits that will guarantee the student will graduate with their class or graduate early. Osmujao is located in Agaña next to the Attorney General's old office building at 297 West O'Brien Drive in a three-story blue building. Call 475-9276 for more information. That's 475-9276. The most unique place on Guam to visit is Jess Pirates Cove, located in Nipan Talafofo on Route 4, right on a beautiful Windward Beach. The menu is full of wonderful culinary delights, including Jeff's famous Chamorro Fiesta Plate. Always remember that Jeff hosts a wonderful Mother's and Father's Day, along with a tantalizing Thanksgiving and a Christmas buffet. Take a tour of Jess Pirates Cove's unique local museum. Keep an eye out for treasure. Yokoi, Guam's own 28-year survivor of World War II, is featured as a main attraction, showing his last 10 days on Guam and how he lived in the jungle. Jeff opens up Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. You got to start out with breakfast, folks. Jose's Mexican Omelet. Just can't beat it. There's nothing like it. Go through the week. Jump into Jose's Taco Tuesdays, and we're talking about unbelievable triple tacos. Wow. I don't know. It's just wonderful. And then, of course, there's Friday, FRY Day. That's today, folks. Fish and shrimp combos, whole parrotfish, deep-fried calamari rings, shrimp scampi. My golly. And then, of course, don't forget about Jess' Mediterranean Greek menu with a gyro platter, another personal favorite Greek salad and list of appetizers that will only increase your appetite. Come to Jess Pirates Cove, open 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and call 789-8646 for orders to go. That's 789-8646. We'll see you there. Now, folks, what we're talking about here is learning to really realize who you are. And in this aspect, in this thought, when we have this ability, you know, to realize this whole universal explosion is bigger than anybody can fathom. And guess what? So are you. You're bigger than anybody can fathom. Nevertheless, sages from spiritual traditions throughout the ages have worked hard to explore and discover what really lies inside themselves and the people around them. Although each tradition has its own images and cultural specific elements, several themes appear in many spiritual and theories. It's kind of the same type of a thing. One common element is a belief in a part of you that's invisible, that lives on in some way, even after your body takes its last breath. Okay, so here we are. We're talking a little bit about this everlasting life, this higher consciousness that lives forever. Some traditions believe your enduring higher consciousness will, after death, transition to very different worlds, such as heaven and hell. This is some traditions believe this. Some traditions believe the soul, this higher consciousness, as a fragment of the whole, trying to find its way back to wholenessness through a long and involved series of lifetimes. This is where we talk about, of course, in reincarnation. And some traditions hold a view of time as a mere conceptual structure, behind which the eternal higher consciousness remains complete and perfect, even through all the apparent fluctuations, variations, and apparent imperfections in your life. Now, big self, little self. The grandest teachings of Jesus Christ really was not that you shall have everlasting life, but that you do. It's not that you shall have, but you do have. That's a big one in itself. So according to the enlightened sages, you are, in your deepest sense, the supreme, unnameable essence behind all creation. That essence is like the sun, shining forever and always. Although its light may be obstructed by clouds, may be appear to be darkened when you turn away from its face, the sun never ceases to shine its blazings. Nor does the sun discriminate on whom it will shine more brightly. It just shines and shines and shines. And like the sun, the Supreme Soul also shines always and forever in every heart and in every element of creation, including you. Yet, through preoccupation with self-limiting desires and interests, many people avert their eyes from the spiritual sun to cover its rays with the clouds of delusion, and then complain about the darkness. Nevertheless, just as the sun isn't rising and setting, even when it appears so in your earthbound eyes, in the same way, spiritual light doesn't come and go from your life. You can begin to see your own inner. When you turn toward your divine nature through intention and focus on spiritual teachings, practices, and other uplifting efforts. When you've cleared away the clouds of ignorance and delusion that block its great light through meditation, contemplation, purification, and the elevated teachings from those who have gazed long and lovingly at the sun to have and experience this communion. Now, when the great spiritual masters declare that you are Mother Nature, they're communicating a truth discovered in the depths of their contemplation and that innermost sanctum of higher consciousness. However, if you have an incomplete understanding and image of who you are and what Mother Nature is, this discreet really doesn't really make sense. After all, if you were Mother Nature, things would look a heck of a lot different around your world than they do now, right? Well, not necessarily. You see, it's not the little you who is worried about getting to work on time. That is the Lord and Master over all creation. I mean, you are, but at the same time, you're not. This is interesting. This is polarity. Always sense that polarity. This is why we have good things that happen to us. This is why we have bad things that happen to us. This is why we have bliss. This is why we have pain. It's just what it is within ourselves. Now, you can think of yourself as having two aspects, your big self and your little self. This is what spiritual teachings refer to as small self versus the big self. Your small self is this egocentric mass of conditioned responses and defense mechanism that pulls you into the illusion and keeps you from receiving the wealth of your own inheritance. It's your ego. Your big self is the great reservoir of eternal wisdom. You live forever. You have all the knowledge of the universe. You live in truth. There's no gender. We're all equal. There's no judgments, and you're surrounded by unconditional love. It is the self of all. And you as an individual being are the conjuncture point between these two as they pull your awareness in opposite directions. This is what you present. It's almost like theater. Once you're in higher consciousness, you think, okay, now how am I going to present myself? Am I going to present myself where people around me feel comfortable, where they feel that they can talk to me, that they can share their wisdom, they feel comfortable? This is all part of this understanding of who we really are. You really are all spiritual. Not only is your essence made of pure spirit, but no matter who you are or how you've lived, we can really guarantee there are already ways you've been spiritual, with or without knowing it. Now, here's some of the ways you may have already been spiritual. Now, do you remember as a child when you used to daydream during school? Wasn't it a great feeling to just get absorbed in your own being and enjoy all the entertainment and your inner creations? Now, this is interesting. We have four different, if you take an electroencephalograph and hook it up to your brain, you have your beta, where we are right now with our eyes open and talking, we're in the sense of beta, hertz per second. Now, if you close your eyes and you meditate, you go into alpha. And then, of course, in deep sleep, you're in delta. Now, if you do a snooze alarm and you're in 15 minutes of half awake and half asleep, that's theta. And this is where young children are. Young children are in theta. And this is why in theta, you have this daydreaming. This is where you have your imagined friends, the friends that nobody else can see, just you. This is why a child can sit down and have a tea party with all their stuffed animals and dolls and interact within this realm. That's a priceless sense of you having this this awareness. So anytime you've focused and you're proficient in the midst of a creative process or sports activity, you're in a spiritual space, the zone, so to speak, if we talk in that well. When you're in the flow of a skillful action, you're also in harmony with your inner self. So every time you go to sleep and every time you wake up, your consciousness passes through a porthole that scientists calls the hypnagogic state. Ancient spiritual scriptures also refer to this juncture points of consciousness as very powerful times to grasp the spiritual presence that exists behind your mind. So don't rush so fast to jump out of bed in the morning. Savor that space. That's this theta. That's this when you're, again, this electroencephalograph. That's when you're half awake, half asleep. And savor this space. Now, while watching a beautiful sunset or smelling the beautiful fragrance of flowers in spring, it's likely you have experienced some spiritual feelings of love and appreciation for the beauty of Mother Nature's creation. And then during holidays, you know, weddings, funerals, birthdays, there are often opportunities for feeling spiritual sensations and saying spiritual things. We really consider so many happy days, our Thanksgiving, our New Year's Day, our weddings, our funerals in themselves. But this is something that you want to bring to the moment pretty much all the time. So, Jordine, how are we doing on time?
Yes, we have 10 Hello? Seconds. Hello?
Jordine?
Yes.
Are we there?
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure.
We have 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Okay, so the way we leave the show is... of course, our strongest force in the universe, folks. We'll see you next Friday. I'll be back on island. Love, 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 love. Gwaiza, 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 gwaiza. Thank you, Jordine. Wonderful job. We'll see you soon.